Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, All Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. Week 8 in college football gave us the best Pac-12 game of the year, a Michigan loss, and Lovie Smith redemption. So it was great. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. Queen of Champagne. And with me, as always, is AJ Juice Williams Marchese.
Always be my hero, Rob.
We're an Illinois podcast now.
I love
it. And today, we'll talk all about the 2020 NFL draft prospects we saw from Week 8 of college football. Then we'll preview and pick the huge, kind of, Week 9 matchups. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Going out to Vegas, maybe. Looking for a young or a 2-0. Don't draft a running back on the first day. Don't draft a running back on the second day. Maybe draft one on the third. Or don't. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. With pro football, college football, and MLB playoffs in full swing, and both hockey and basketball starting now, it's the best time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid, MyBookie. Week 8 of college football. Let's start where we always start, ESPN Game Day Celebrity Picker. Of course, AJ called this one last week. They were at Penn State.
Yep.
So naturally, Lara Spencer was the game day picker.
I never even heard of
her. I'm still not sure who she is.
On Good Morning America,
I read she, like, dove for Penn State back in the day.
Yeah, she went to Penn State. I know that. Which, okay. And I guess she's a...
Do you want to break it down for us?
I mean, look, I was right. Desmond Howard was there, again. I've not been 100% on that one. I thought she kind of sucked, but, I mean, it hurts because I didn't know who she was.
So you might have been biased going in.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, on her Wikipedia page, there's some controversy. There's a controversy section, which is never a good thing.
Oh, okay. Well, could you break that down? I didn't know this.
I can't remember. It's something about Prince George? I don't know.
That's so strange.
Anyways, I don't know. One of the princes, I think. I can't remember. The main highlight for me was... when Corso is making his pick, you know how he does it. It's a big build-up. You know, he fishes you in a couple times. So, you know, it was all leaning Penn State. And she thought that he already picked Penn State. So she, like, tried to high-five him, and he was just like, I'm not done yet. And just fucking showed her off, and she started laughing. And then he did pick Penn State, and he was dead right.
Yeah, so what would you score her?
-3.
Okay, I gave her a bump because she swam for Penn State. So
it's kind of cool.
It's a decent connection. I still not sure who she is. 5.5 out of 10.
I feel like you could just get like any Penn State volleyball player in history, and it'd be a better pick.
Okay, geez, problematic. Just kidding. Penn State's a dominant volleyball program.
They are.
Okay, week 9, they're going to South Dakota State for the SDSU-NDSU game. How do we feel?
Okay,
they picked South Dakota State. They picked South Dakota State over. They can't go back to Michigan, so that makes sense. But Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Auburn, LSU.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we got Florida in back-to-back weeks, so they can go to Michigan.
Okay.
But yeah, so I gotta defend Ann Arbor. You know I have to. Yeah, they could have went to LSU. They could have went to Columbus. They could have went lots of other places. I like when they do this, but I like when it's like week 1 or week 0. Or when, like, I don't know, when North Dakota State and South Dakota State have like more prospects on them.
Yeah, it's very strange. Who do you think the game day picker will be?
Taryn Christian.
Like, I checked. If the Colts were on bye week, Adam Vinatieri would have been a good pick, but
yeah, it would. Or if he retired, like he hinted at, but didn't.
Yeah, that would have helped. Oh, Bob Barker's from South Dakota.
That'd be a huge.
So is Brock Lesnar. Right. And so is Mike Miller. So,
who?
The basketball player? Memphis.
Oh,
Memphis. Okay. University of Memphis assistant coach to Penny.
Mm-hmm. By the way, go Tigers.
Yeah,
this year.
James Wiseman. Listen to our other podcast, Two Rounds in Heaven, where we break down all the NBA draft.
Good bet.
Thanks.
Who's your prediction, Bob Barker?
No, it's going to be someone I've never heard of. If this was their pick for Penn State, it's not going to be great for South Dakota State. Or it'll be someone
Or
random.
It's going to be exactly, like just a country music
like,
singer.
Ugh, I hate that. I'm disgusted with you, ESPN. Pick up your game. Okay.
Or they can go with a North Dakota State guy.
Yeah, that's true. But was that a slap in the face to South Dakota? They've never been to South Dakota before, so I feel like it is.
It is, but would it surprise you?
No, they're so pro North Dakota State there at ESPN. Okay. Okay,
Eagles
let's get out of this.
Right? No,
no yeah. They're not. The Ravens and Cowboys are on by. Okay.
Yeah.
Week 8 superlatives. Who was the best freshman you saw?
Gus Bradley went to North Dakota
State.
I know that. Anyways, I am stopping. I'm sticking to in the Big Ten though, Rob. freshman who's had a monster 2 weeks. They plays for Purdue. They almost beat Iowa even without Sindelar. David Bell, true freshman wide receiver, 6'2", 200-ish. Is Purdue the new wide receiver? You no, but they're kind of interesting. He had 13 catches, 197 yards, a touchdown this week. Last week against Maryland, he had 9 for 138 and 2 touchdowns. Moore's hurt. He looks interesting, Rob.
And I shall.
Thank you.
I'm sticking at receiver, but going across the country to Oregon, where Micah Pittman took a screen to the house against Washington. Numbers aren't massive, 2 for 48 in the score, but Pittman has been one of the more consistent receivers since he's gotten healthy for Oregon, who is not good at receiver.
No, it's not saying much.
Brother of USC receiver Michael Pittman, son of NFL running back Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman looks like a nice little explosive player who's going to be a focal point going forward for Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Big shout-out to Johnny Johnson, too. He's still hanging around.
Yeah. Great. I'll throw two more out there.
yeah.
Sam Howell, the North Carolina QB, my boy, who I love.
Your boy.
5 touchdowns in a losing effort to Vautech, where we saw the first time ever the new 2-point conversion overtime rule implemented, and it's awful and I hate it, but it's also so entertaining.
It's like, it's not a, I don't like it, but it's not a bad idea to shorten the games.
It's not a bad idea, but like, who, why, do we want it shorter?
It was after the...
I know, but that game was amazing.
The A&M game. I don't know why. I don't know. I can't explain to Rob.
But yeah, poor Sam Howell. He looks like... If there was a overall Freshman of the Year award, I'd throw his name into the running for sure. And one more. He only caught one pass, but it was a sick touchdown for Clemson. Joseph Nada against Louisville. I don't know. Every receiver they recruit is at least 6'4" and a power forward. So, they get another one.
It's pretty impressive. They're basically the Purdue of the ACC.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Thank you for saying
okay, that. Best sophomore.
I stuck in the Big Ten because there's a lot of Big Tens for me this week. Fuck. Anyways, Micah Parsons.
Correct answer.
For Penn State.
I think, correct. Like, undeniably, he was the most impressive sophomore this week.
Agree. He was all over the place. 6 tackles, 8 assist tackles. It felt like he was involved in almost every play in that game. Was the best player on that Penn State
defense. He's been one of my favorite players to watch this season.
Me too. He's really fucking good.
And he's really interesting because I remember when he was a five star.
Yep.
But he was a D end. And I remember when he got to Penn State, they're like, we don't have any linebackers. You play linebacker now. And
it's LBU.
That's just what he's going to be in the NFL. He's a freaky athlete. He's a hammer.
Yeah.
He lays the wood unlike most of the linebackers of the country. I think he's a future first-round pick. And, like, I mean, I'm pretty blindly saying that, but...
It's okay. He's a sophomore. You can say it now.
He's so damn impressive. I love a guy like that. The Penn State linebacker, U, is on its way back.
I hope so. If you want to throw another Clemson receiver in, because we'll do it for every category.
Yes,
if you can.
Of course.
Justin Ross had a hell of a game.
I think the numbers aren't amazing. 55 yards in the score, but the touchdown grab was incredible. His ability to just win every contested catch, it feels like. He is the best receiver Clemson has. And I don't even know if that's debatable. No offense, T. Higgins.
There's still... lots of T. Higgins fans out there. And T. Higgins is a good football player, but Ross is the best.
T. Higgins combo is very all over the place, though, because it's like you'll see some like very big brand draft scout who you're not totally sure how much work they're putting in will say, T. Higgins, top 10 pick. And it's like, I don't even know if T. Higgins is a top 5 receiver in this class. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be a very polarizing prospect. I think a lot of the big receivers going forward will be, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Colin Johnson, same thing.
Yeah. To a lesser extent, but yeah.
I'll throw one more. Justin Fields, once again. 4 touchdown passes against Northwestern. I'm very excited to see what he does against Wisconsin, because it feels like that's... I mean, they played Michigan State and he showed up, but Wisconsin's...
It's the first real test. It's at home, which is big for Ohio State and Justin Fields, obviously, but...
He is very, very entertaining, and he seems so much better than Jake Fromm, and I don't know what happened at Georgia last year. I'll leave it at that. Okay. Kind of interesting weekday for college football. Not a lot of marquee games, but Ohio State did play Northwestern. Who's your weekday warrior?
I mean, it's Chase Young, Rob. It's easy fruit, but I mean, one of the best, maybe the best prospect in the draft is playing on Friday.
It's not maybe anymore. I'll say it.
I agree, but I don't like to say it during the season. But anyways, Chase Young. Again, 2 tackles, 1 sack, but I mean, involved in almost every play, in the backfield constantly. It's going to be hard to pass on him, Rob.
Yeah, the fact that looks like he's learned a lot of the handwork that Nick Bosa showed last year for Ohio State, and then you throw that into his frame and his athleticism. So I don't think there's like a it's a big thing to say that he's clearly a better athlete than Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm. Why would it be? Yeah.
Nick Bosa was such a technician, and you're now taking that and sticking it into like a JD Clowney type athlete's body. He is a freak of nature. I'll also say J.K. Dobbins, though, because I think he's been one of the best running backs in the country, and I think he's done more for himself this year than almost any running back in the draft.
That's fair. I mean, Dobbins has had a really good year, and it feels like not enough appreciation for him.
I think part of the thing is, remember how hot he was as a freshman?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
And then last year, he was a little banged up, and like he was still good, but he wasn't this like, he's a definite day one starting NFL running back. And he was splitting more time with Mike Weber, it felt like, last year too. And then this year, it's like fully his show. He looks healthier. He looks more explosive. And he's a bowling ball. And I think his just open field vision specifically stands out. Yep. And I mean, the more I see Nick Chubb, I'll say it.
Fair enough. I like it.
Okay. Best prospect you saw not named Chase Young.
I'm going with Isaiah Simmons this week, right?
See, you know how like the first like 4 weeks we were like, yeah, it's Chase Young, it's Chase Young. Now it's like, because we're trying to get away from it being Chase Young, it feels like it's just going to keep being Isaiah Simmons.
That's good. I haven't had him
here. Okay, I think this is like my third week with him here.
Oh, I didn't know you had him here. But yeah, it feels like the right choice. Because, I mean, 7 tackles all over the field, 2 sacks. Like, use a bit spying a lot against Louisville, and it worked. Obviously, I mean, they kicked the shit out of Louisville, but...
Here's just the verse. I love how they use him, too. That's a big help when a college uses a guy in, like, the absolute perfect way. And they'll put Isaiah Simmons literally anywhere.
It's, like, they use him to win football games, which is like important. Yeah.
He is a 6'3", 230-pound linebacker who might run sub-4.5. And by might, I mean probably run sub-4.5. And he's a hammer. And with Dylan Moses injured, I don't really see a way Isaiah Simmons isn't the first backer taken.
I agree.
And
he
is one of the most fun players to watch in the country. And the kind of the perfect linebacker for today's game.
No, 100%. Like, do you think he cracks the top 10? I think we talked about this.
We had a conversation kind of about, well, will Grant Delpit end up in the top 10? And I kind of feel the same way about Isaiah Simmons that I do about Delpit, where it's like between quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and pass rushers, it's going to push linebackers, specifically Isaiah Simmons and Grant Delpit, down the board, maybe past where they are on a big board. Like, they might both end up in the top 10 on most big boards, but they won't end up top 10 picks just because of position need at more valuable positions. That's kind of how I feel.
I think he is
going to clearly be a top 20 prospect, though.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing a team taking an off-ball linebacker in the top 10.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, we saw the Steelers make a huge leap for Bush last year, and obviously White went high. I think he goes 10-15.
The reason I think this is different than last, just there's more quarterbacks.
I don't disagree, it feels like
Andrew Thomas and Tristan Wirfs should both go top 10. That's two tackles, obviously.
We might see two receivers go top 10.
Ebenezer and Chase Young could both go top 10. Yeah. And then, like, we're seeing guys like Derek Brown, or here's my next best prospect. This is that set up really well. Javon Kinlaw. I put him in best prospect this week.
That's he ended up as my prospect to outplay the box score because, yeah, he was fucking great. And he only had 2 tackles.
After watching the game, I checked his stats. I was like imagine.
That feels wrong. Like,
I just feel like Mel Kiper's not watching the games, and he's just like, 4 tackles? This Javon Kinlaw guy, he's not for me.
He was constantly getting double teamed and winning. Beating double teams.
His explosiveness is insane for a 300-pound man.
He's so, like, well put together.
He just looks the part. And, like, the old Mike Mayockism, like, he's body beautiful. He's 6'5". He's 305 pounds or so. He
moves like a linebacker, it feels like at times. And yeah. He looks so much like...
Last year, I thought he was a very interesting raw athlete, and he declared a potential day two guy. This year, he looks so much more technically sound, and his hands seem so much stronger and more consistent. And, like, I don't know if I've ever seen someone win so many reps that end up with him setting up somebody else to make the play. And that's kind of what his game against Florida was.
That's true, yeah. like, every time he broke through the line, which happened very often, got penetration, like, the running back would bounce, and then someone else would just clean it up, right?
Yeah, like, he's insane. Part of the time I watch him, I think Chris Jones.
It's a big comp, but you get some of the vibes sure.
I know it's still so, like, it is very early still. Remember before the season last year, we're like Quinnen Williams wasn't Quinnen Williams, and then ended up being Quinnen Williams. Like, sometimes I have to, like, reflect back on that to realize, like, a guy like Javon Kinlaw could play himself in, up the board that way.
Yeah, I
know. I agree. Like, this is, I'm talking extremes here, but at the same time, like, 2 months ago, people weren't talking about Javon Kinlaw as a lock first-round pick. Now it feels like he is.
No, exactly. I don't think he's going to hop Derek Brown.
No, because at the same time, Derek Brown's been incredible as well.
Exactly. I think he'll be the second.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are we feeling him and Raekwon Davis? That feels much more... possible.
I think I've always been a little low on Raekwon Davis. So right now I have Kinlaw over him, but that's again not 100%. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not 100% sure about it. But yeah, I like Kinlaw more just from seeing what he does week to week.
Okay. Do you have anybody else who you'd throw down for best prospect? It's kind of hard to put multiple people.
Yeah, it is. I mean, no, let's leave it. Let's leave it.
Okay. Who do you have shooting up the board? I have multiple names.
Yeah, I have, like, a couple names I didn't want to put as best prospect, but they had big weeks. I'm going to start with KJ Hamler.
Yeah, that's the right guy to start with. He's atop my list here.
Yeah, monster game against Michigan. Six catches, 108 yards, two touchdowns, but was open for multiple more touchdowns. I love the bromance between Clifford and Hamler, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, he seems like the guy that's gonna keep on pushing up the boards because of his athleticism and his deep threat ability, and the class is so deep, but you know,
he's so much more nuanced as a route runner this year. Last year it was I thought like he was a very interesting deep threat, and this year he just seems so much more complete. And although he's quite small, like I mean, he very much feels like day two. And there's just so many receivers. And I'll kind of touch on that when we hit sliding down the board. But it feels like there's so many receivers. Like, entering this season, we knew there were so many talented receivers. And that could go in the first 2 days. And now it feels like we're just finding more and more and more. And some of the other big names are going to kind of take a slide because of injuries or lack of production or... just more tape breakdown, you realize there's more flaws than you thought before. And I'm very excited for this wide receiver group.
I agree. I think if Hamler keeps on keeping on, he ends up at least a second round pick.
He's in that, not to the same extent as Hollywood Brown, but he's in that mold, and that's the type of receiver the NFL is valuing more than anything right now.
Yeah.
He is exactly a flyer. And I have no idea, no offense, AJ, why was Michigan playing safeties one-on-one with him?
Oh, bro, it's Josh Metellus.
They're just, like, giving him free releases for safeties. And, ugh, tough.
It's like every time, like, last year they couldn't cover crossing routes against Ohio State. And then Penn State tried a couple of those and, like, oh, they finally figured that out. And they're like, wait, but they don't care about the deep route anymore. Fair. So, anyways.
Okay. I'll throw Jacob Eason's name down here.
I also have Jacob Eason's name for this, so good work.
And it's funny, because when you look at the box score, Jacob Eason and Justin Herbert, very similar numbers. Yeah. But I thought, in a game that it felt like everybody who is plugged in the NFL draft is paying attention to, for both these quarterbacks, among other prospects, I thought Eason outdueled Justin Herbert, even though Herbert...
I agree with you.
I just think part of it is...
Eason is pushing the ball downfield way more confidently than Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can see the tools clearly with both of them. They both have incredible arms. But Eason made just, like, four or five holy smokes. That's a NFL quarterback throw. That one back shoulder, Hunter Bryant, stood out to me. And he seems far from being that put-together franchise QB that goes top 10. But the everything is there for him to get to that point.
No, I agree. And, like, I mean, I put this down as my best prospect versus prospect matchup, but we can talk about this now.
That's a good one. Damn, I should put this down for that.
I know. Let's talk about it now, though, anyways. I know it's not a head-to-head matchup, but it is. Herbert doesn't feel like that. I mean, we know, but he's not that polished guy either, right?
He's so strange because it feels like part of it is the offense, but part of it is him. It's just so conservative. Like, he rarely gets to unleash anything, whereas Eason, it's you see it much more frequently. There's flashes with Herbert. Herbert made one incredible throw where he held in strong against in the pocket with a pass coming down on him, hit, I think it was a post route in stride between the corner and safety. And it was a beautiful throw. And it's just like, you know, he can make these wonderful throws. He if you cut up his 10 best throws of the season, they might be the 10 best. But then it's just sprinkled with high misses or him having tons of time in the pocket and just not getting the ball out and then kind of breaking out of the pocket and nothing happens. And
cause, like, you can make excuses for Herbert about the offense and the receivers there, but there's no excuse about the offensive line.
He had so much time
in the pocket. So when you see him – exactly. So when you see him leaving clean pockets and, like, just feels like he's trying to force things or trying to do too much, then he'll skip it or sail it or
– he's just – you know what I mean? Very inconsistent. We've been talking about it for like 3 years now.
Yeah. I mean, I was ready for him to put it together, but he clearly has it. But yeah, going back to Eason, I think I agree that he outplayed Herbert, obviously lost the game, but
and just sticking with shooting up the board, I put Hunter Bryant down here too.
Yeah, no, that's fair. He hasn't had a quieter year, but he's come on the last couple weeks. So
he's just a very, I mean, college tight ends are so misused a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But he's a strange tight end in that he's like 6'2", 240, but he's such a good athlete and such a nice receiver. Very Jordan Reed.
It feels like Bryant's big day is going to come in Indianapolis. Like,
the athletic testing. Run, like, a 4.55.
Yeah, but if he comes in a little shorter, it also, like, you know, it's both ways for him, right?
Yeah, is he Jordan Reed or is he Niles Paul? That's what we're all going to be asking.
Do you have anyone else?
I got two more. Do you have anyone else?
I do. I'll go to Jalen Hurts because he just went over there and teared apart the West Virginia defense. I mean, one incompletion, 316, three touchdowns, plus on the ground again.
It's just a cheat code. It's just like, if you don't spy him, or even if you do, because he's a better athlete than whoever the heck's spying him, and for whatever the reason the play breaks down or no one's getting home, and he just, like, easily runs for 10 yards, at least.
Yeah, I know. I remember his early days in Bama. It was so frustrating because he couldn't really throw the ball, but, you know, you get pressure on him, and then he just get the 10 yards.
He's going to be very...
But now that he can, it's not fair.
He's going to be very interesting because it's like, we saw the week before, even though they beat Texas, he struggled a lot more in the stuff he had improved on with, like, mechanics, decision-making, footwork. He's going to be a very interesting case because you just want him to end up with the right coach that's going to take advantage of his full skill set. Yeah. I would love to see him with Matt Nagy and the Bears.
I think that'd be fun.
I'm not ready to declare him a definite first-round pick.
I'm not close
to that. Yeah, but, like, I'm fully... good with saying he's a definite top 100 pick.
Yeah, I feel like someone's going to take him in day two. Like, that's how I feel right now. But
gun to your head, would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Jake Fromm? I know we're so far from being done the evaluation process, and it, like, it's not really a fair question, but right now, if you had to take one as an NFL team, who would you take?
You know, I prefer quarterbacks that can move. I'd take Jalen Hurts.
I would too. I think you can do more with him.
I agree.
I also think he's a more confident downfield passer.
I agree. I hope Oklahoma makes the playoffs so we see them against like a fucking a legit defense. I mean, at Baylor in November could be a little interesting. Like that's the last test.
Senior Bowl is going to be really big for him too. And then if we don't see him against a legitimate defense at any point, it's really hard to separate the quarterback from that offense too, just because Lincoln Riley's scheme and the receivers come open so easily.
Exactly. Like it does make me hesitate for sure.
And yeah, so the Senior Bowl I think is going to be just massive. He also it fits the mold of the quarterback that just dominates the Senior Bowl, specifically the game. True. Pat White, Tyrod Taylor. Yep.
I'm so happy Pat White went in the second round.
That was just like a win for us as Big East fans.
For yeah,
I still can't believe that happened.
No business doing so. I love it though. I mean,
the heyday of the Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the SEC now for shooting up the board. Although LSU never really looked in doubt against Mississippi State, wasn't LSU's best game? And I thought Mississippi State cornerback Cam Dantzler played really, really well.
I think that's a good pick, Rob, because we haven't talked about him very much.
Long physical corner. He came away with a sack on a blitz, broke up a couple passes.
Sorry.
The LSU passing game kind of didn't have the dominant day it generally has. I thought he did a good job on Justin Jefferson. Now he's like in the long physical press corner type that the NFL is looking for. He's a guy who I could see kind of sneaking up as we get closer to the draft, just because he's not on a super relevant team right now, but he's playing good football.
I snuck in there for half a sack too, if I remember correctly. I think that's an interesting pick. I mean, it's always going to be a tough test against that LSU offense, which I can't believe I'm saying, but. I still can't believe they have a hell of a passing offense. That's pretty cool, finally. Anyways, that's a good pick.
Do you have anybody else?
No, that's it for me. I'm
quickly say DeAndre Swift, because he finally kind of got the game where they just let him win the game, because, you know,
ran for
179 against Kentucky and looked like the best RB in the class.
Yep. The running back class is going to be, I think it's going to get even hotter debate as we keep going.
It's weird because we don't talk about them that much, but they're all very, very, very good.
Yeah. And no one's pulled away.
As the,
you know what I mean?
I am, for me, I'm like very pro DeAndre Swift as my RB1 right now. But
I have been too, but yeah.
I definitely get the arguments for Etienne, and obviously there's Jonathan Taylor, and I think J.K. Dobbins sneak up on it a bit. But I also think there's going to be people who are going to be polar opposite with J.K. Dobbins, where they're going to be like, no, there's no way. He's not even a top 10 running back.
I think there's going to be a lot more Dobbins haters than fans.
Yes, me too. But I'm going to declare now I'm a J.K. Dobbins fan. Come at me, haters.
I like Dobbins. I just don't know how he goes.
Yeah.
You know?
He's Nick Chubb, though. Okay, sliding down the board. We already touched on Justin Herbert. I'm sure you have him here too.
It wasn't. Let's talk more about Herbert. It wasn't a terrible game.
It was just the same thing we always see. Also, to be honest, I didn't think it was a great. I thought he started very, very slowly.
He did. The start was bad.
And he kind of came on later. But two of the touchdowns were big plays from pass catchers on screens.
Yeah.
There was a lot of swings to CJ Verdell. It was a lot of the same, just in terms of he'd make a couple wow throws, but a lot of it was just inconsistent or him panicking for no reason when there was actually he had 5 seconds in the pocket. And
yeah, exactly. I've said it before. I'm ready to see him playing elsewhere. I just want to see him.
It's a very tough quarterback class to evaluate.
It is. I mean, right now, if you, again, gun to your head, do you see a chance of him sliding out of the top 10?
No. Just because the need. And he's going to dazzle at the Senior Bowl, probably. See,
I think he's going to look really fucking good at the pro.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see if Jacob Eason declares, if Jordan Love declares, if Jake Fromm declares. Because I'm still in the camp that feels like Jake Fromm seems more like a guy who would go back.
Speaking of Jake Fromm, he's like an easy pick for sliding down the board.
I felt cheap putting him down.
I didn't, but I'm just, because I felt cheap.
9 of 12, 35 yards, you know, 21-0 win against Kentucky.
Yeah.
And there's still people who, like, blame. I get that the offense is conservative, but at some point, like, if Jake Fromm's a top 10 pick at quarterback, he'd be putting up better numbers. That's just my thought.
I think. All right, right. Going back to the original question, I think right now both Fromm and Hurts are day two picks, and I think Hurts goes above Jake Fromm.
Hurts has just way more upside. I think at the end of the day, Jake Fromm at worst is going to be Case Keenum. Which, like, it's a competent low-level starter or the best backup in the league. At best, he's like an Andy Dalton type. Slightly less Andy athletic. Dalton,
yeah.
And, like, what's that? Yeah. 8 years as a fine starting quarterback, but, like, not going to win you any playoff games. That's kind of how I feel. When I see him, it's kind of just in between those two.
No, that's fair. I mean, Dalton was a good pick, but never got you over the hump, right?
I also, like, I see some of Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. Just the strides Dak Prescott made from his junior to senior year as a passer. Like, I remember he was, like, Tebow-esque in his throwing motion and then really, really cleaned up his mechanics as a senior. Obviously, like, none of us thought he was going to become a franchise quarterback when he went in the fifth round. But just tough as nails, kind of like in that country strong Steve McNair type of build. I really, really enjoy Jalen Hurts the person, too.
Hurts is, even before this, you already heard how good his leadership and all that was.
He's in the gym after every game.
Actually, one last thing. Funny you mentioned Dak. Another guy who had a massive Senior Bowl week, and you said Hurts could be that guy this year. So,
heck yeah.
More parallels, Rob. I'll throw another name out there. Maybe low-hanging fruit. I don't know, but he had a... He's coming off a game where he led his team in tackles, which I'm sure he's never done in his life before. Florida corner, CJ Henderson. I just don't see him putting enough out there to help himself, and I just keep thinking he's slipping down the boards, Rob.
Yeah. He, especially because, and I think we've mentioned it many times, how deep the corner class is.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time, especially in today's NFL, like, you need corners who are willing to tackle.
Hey, led the team.
Sorry.
I don't know what... had a sack, I think.
He did.
I mean, decent play on the ball, but had a bad dropped interception.
He's a day two corner, I think. It is what it is. Yeah. He might test really well, though, because he looks so gifted at times.
Yeah, I know. It just doesn't... Don't impress me much, Rob. I'll say that.
Okay, I alluded to some receiver talk earlier.
Yep.
And some guys who might fall for various reasons. So I got three written down here. Denzel Mims, the Baylor receiver, who had just 16 yards against Oklahoma State, where A.J. Green gave him some hell, the Oklahoma State corner.
Mims just keeps. Sorry, if you I don't know if you want to do them all together.
No, let's do one at a time.
Mims just keeps unimpressing, Rob.
He'll make one amazing catch every so often to remind you he's still there, but yeah, he
did
like,
nothing.
I know some people were like very in on him at some points, like talking top five receiver. I don't think I'm there. I don't know that. I can't see him being a top 10 receiver.
I agree. He feels like a fourth or fifth round
guy
right now.
Very boom or bust. He's got all the tools, but it also in big moments, it feels like he'll drop passes, fumble.
Like the touchdown last week.
Yeah, like there's just bad things like that sprinkled into his game.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The second receiver I've got written down, Jalen Reagor, the TCU wide receiver, who I absolutely love, so it pains me to put him here.
Hasn't shown up too much yet.
It's funny because against Kansas State was one of his more productive games, 8 for 85. But at the same time, part of it is awful quarterback play at TCU, but part of it is in a handful of moments this year, muffed punts, fumbles, drop passes. It's like he is the exact type of receiver the NFL wants right now too, but he's not putting it all together. And then there's guys like KJ Hamler who fit that mold as well that are kind of sneaking up on him. And like, I agree. Reagor's a guy who I had in my top five receivers prior to the season.
So. Yeah. No, for a team that's like kind of playmaker needy, he hasn't been that guy. It's for sure.
Yeah. And then Laviska Shenault. I feel like we just don't talk about him that much, and part of it is Colorado's awful. Steve Montez is not very good, but he's been dealing with a lot of injuries, and the massive plays that really made him stand out last year aren't as consistent this year. Against Washington State, they got slapped. He had 46 receiving yards and a 16-yard touchdown run, but like, he's a guy who, especially with the health concerns.
Yeah,
like, could you see him falling into the first round? I mean, if he tests incredibly, then it's a different story. But
right now, I don't think he's a first round.
Like, he's a Sammy Watkins, really high upside type guy, but he doesn't seem like he's not a complete receiver. He's this weapon that you could stick in the slot. I think depending on where he goes, he's gonna have very different levels of production.
Yeah.
Like, the right coaching staff could make him into a star. The wrong one, like, he's just...
He fizzles out. Yeah.
And this, yeah, with a guy like that where it's so much to do with his explosiveness, the injuries really scare me.
No. Like I said, I don't think he's a first-round pick right now.
Yeah. And especially because, like, obviously, Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, those guys, it feels like have solidified themselves as the... Yeah. As the first three receivers selected, in whatever order you please. But yeah, after that, it's kind of very up in the air.
Well, there's a lot of guys.
And lots of talented guys. Like, I mean, Wallace from Oklahoma State's going to be sneaking up there too, because Sage Surratt's a nice sleeper. Like, I feel like prior to the year, it would have been insane to say Sage Surratt over Denzel Mims, but personally, I would say Sage Surratt over Denzel Mims.
Right now, yeah, I agree with you. I agree
with
you.
Very, very fun. I'm so excited for the Senior Bowl, and it's so far away. But more importantly, I'm excited for our Senior Bowl preview show.
Good plug for 3 months
ago. Hey, we did it live last year. It was sick.
Did we?
Yeah, I kept your house. And remember, I talked about Terry McLaurin and his special teams ability? Look at him now.
Yeah, he's pretty good on special teams.
Thank you. Booger thinks so. Okay, out of nowhere prospect?
Hey, he's not an out-of-nowhere prospect for us because we're smart, Rob. But it's a guy I had a late day three grade on in the summer and had a big game.
You're about to cut
me. Jermichael Hasty?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's Jermichael Hasty. I liked him a lot.
I don't know if anyone liked Jermichael Hasty the way we liked him in the summer.
I found him very interesting. I mean, I had the monster run this week. 16 for 146, two touchdowns. But in the summer, I liked what he like the potential as like a third down.
Yeah, because he caught the ball really well for them last year. That's what really stood out when I watched him in the summer.
Exactly, and the explosiveness.
Yeah, he's like he's compact, but he's well built, and he's got some twitchiness, explosiveness to him. You saw, like you mentioned, the big touchdown run. Yeah, no, he's a very, very interesting, like, day three type of back.
No, and had another good day of catching the ball, 3 catches for 66. I think there's a lot of interesting tools.
Send him to the Senior Bowl.
Please. I think he'd look really good in the Senior
Bowl. Me too. No, Jermichael Hasty, very interesting sleeper. Okay, I had him, but I also have Jared Maiden, the Alabama senior safety, who, like, I don't even know that you... Is he necessarily a starter for Alabama? Maybe not, but he plays a lot. And he made a ton of plays in coverage against Tennessee, picked off a pass, broke up a couple. Very much in the classic, like, this dude didn't play that much throughout his career because he was at Alabama, but, like, he's a good football player. He's going to make an NFL roster. He just kept catching my eye in a bad game against Tennessee that got Tua injured.
Yeah, I hated that football game.
Yeah. Do you have anybody else?
No, I'm good. Okay,
I got Illinois edge rusher Oluwolu Betuku Jr.
Of course, because we had to have a champagne boy on the list today.
Of course. Also, because he's a USC transfer, I think he was a big recruit, and he's been their best player this year. Just an interesting speed rusher.
Go Lana.
Okay, and I got one more. LSU hybrid, Jacoby Stevens. Sick one-handed pick, a big sack. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who's played receiver, linebacker, and safety at LSU. And
it's interesting. Doesn't it feel like there's just a lot more of those type of dudes now in college football?
Yeah. Like, he might be a linebacker in the NFL just because that'd be a very more interesting way to use him. But he's exactly. more of a safety for LSU.
Yeah. I find those guys so fun, and I'm glad that there's more and more of them.
Yeah, definitely. Prospect made you look stupid?
I'm going to a guy I liked in the summer as a day three guy. Had a rough game this week. Isaiah Wright, the Temple receiver. 3 catches, 19 yards, 2 fumbles, 1 was lost. Had like 3 drops in the first half. Just I was hoping like he could have, like, he's been okay, I guess, but this is a rough game, and he hasn't had like the jump that I've hoped. And you know, I like him, so I look stupid this week, Rob.
You do look stupid, but I do too. I put two down, both defensive linemen. First, Jordan Scott, the Oregon nose tackle, guy who interests me a lot. I thought he kind of got moved around against Washington. Nick Harris had a really strong game, the Washington center. And they kind of ran all over Oregon, and I felt like he was disappearing for long stretches, and that's not the way to get drafted high as a nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And then Yetur Gross-Matos, the edge for Penn State. Yep. He wasn't super productive against Michigan, but you could see he was winning with his hands. There was athleticism, and just there were times where he just looked like this is that the tools are there for this guy to be what some people think he already is. I don't think he's already there, but it felt like his most flashy game of the year, and I've been very hard on him. So
I think we both kind of have. Hey, you know who didn't make us? I think both of us look stupid. Ahmed for Washington, baby.
Yeah, Washington loves those little scat backs. Miles Gaskin 2.0.
Yeah, you said it.
You already touched on your best prospect matchup, the quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mine's similar because Justin Herbert's involved, but Justin Herbert versus Washington DB Miles Bryant. Okay. I thought Miles Bryant had a hell of a game.
He did.
They even used him spying Herbert at times. He's a very interesting guy. Like, he'll play nickel, he'll play deep safety. In the right defensive scheme, I think he could be a weapon in the NFL. He just puts his body on the line.
Yeah, he was throwing his body around big time this week.
He's tough as nails. I love Miles Brown. One of my favorite players in the country. Prospect duo played the box score.
I said mine already. Javon Kinlaw. That was just an easy pick this week.
It was. I put him too. I also put Miles Brown here because 7 tackles is big, but like the overall impact he had as this versatile defender.
It's a good football game too, just to start off. Enjoy the
Washington
game a lot.
Was the most enjoyable game for me this week.
Yeah, Michigan and Penn State was the least enjoyable.
Notre Dame, Michigan will be the least enjoyable this week. I'll just put Eno Benjamin down. He had a better game for him, 100 yards, but just the amount of work he has to do to pick up yardage behind that offensive line is not fair.
And Jaden Daniels did nothing against Utah either. So
Eno Benjamin's so fun.
You know, but yeah, he did all the work for them. I mean, lost, but he did all the work.
Prospect who's being overhyped?
All right, this is kind of a weird one I saw. I remember a guy that intrigued us in the summer. There's some love out there for him. But specifically, I saw this guy mocked number 9 overall. Josh Jones, the Houston tackle.
Okay, his rise has been fast and very blatant.
Yeah,
I saw a couple of weeks ago, like, the day 2 talk. I was like, well, like, yeah, I see the vision there. And then, like, the first round talks started coming in, and now we're talking top 10?
Yeah. I don't know about that, Rob.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Like you said, the tools are there, and he's interesting, But top 10 at this point, I feel like you're just saying it to be, you know, just to get the clicks. But I mean, not that you're advertising, like, look where I have Josh Jones in my mock draft. But you know what I mean? Just to be, just to have him on there. I don't know, man.
Oh, snap. He's just taking shots. Okay. It doesn't really count, but sophomore quarterback for Clemson, Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you're cheating now. I'm just kidding. That's cool with me. He had a rough game, man.
He's been not great this year, and lots of interceptions and not seeing safeties. And so I threw his name down. He's not my real one. I just wanted to mention that.
No. I'm fine with Lawrence because it's... Oh, now you're being mean.
I swear he had 3 drops against Penn State.
Yeah, he did.
And he's, like, a guy who I've seen mocked in first rounds. And, like, I know the Michigan receivers are super talented, and, like, he is clearly very talented. But in such a deep wide receiver class, like, is he the guy I'm banging the table for? No, I've not seen him be this elite type of prospect. I definitely see that he's got all the physical tools, but he's very raw. Like I said, the drops.
The drops were really bad.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Like,
and I'm going to be totally honest. I like Nico Collins more than him in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think I had Collins over him, too.
Yeah.
I like them. Like, I mean, Ronnie Bell's looked really good. He had the rough drop to lose the game, but he's looked good, too. Anyway.
He's a true sophomore. Put Ronnie Bell. So he's next
year. I know. He's looked good, though.
Anyway. Small school guy who cut your eye?
You know what I do? I just go to SMU every week because I love the Stangs. This week, a guy who's had a really, really good year kind of intrigued me for a while. I don't think we've talked about him, though, but Reggie Roberson had just a fucking monster performance.
Yeah, I put his name down, too. We mentioned him a bit in the summer. He's had some hype. I know Brad Kelly's talked about him a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Just because SMU's churning out receivers. He across from Prosh, making plays.
Yeah, big time. That SMU offense is a ton of fun because, like, Shane Buchel, like, he's not good, but he's fun, at least. He's
kind of the perfect quarterback for them.
I know. 8 catches, 250, 3 touchdowns for Roberson, and a lot of the damage. I think he had another one called back, too. He was just deadly in this game for SMU.
Yeah. I put one of a junior from Appalachian State, plays a little running back up there. Darrington Evans. Mm-hmm. I like him so much. Like, I'm going to bang the table for a G5 running back, it's probably him. Because he adds stuff as a return man. He adds in the passing game. He's an explosive runner.
We haven't talked about him at all, but interesting guy.
177 total, 2 total touchdowns against Louisiana Monroe. I don't think he'll come out, but just very much in, like, that Chris Thompson-y type of skill set.
I'll throw another name out that's an easy name, but Antonio Gandy-Golden.
Just making crazy grabs every week.
Crazy, crazy catch. The one-handed stab, like, amazing. Like, a big statistical game.
Senior Bowl is going to be huge for him.
Yeah, for sure. For real.
I'll throw one more. I don't know if BYU counts as a small school, but they beat Boise.
Matt Bushman?
Yeah, Matt Bushman. He was, like, kind of the catalyst for the Boise State upset.
Yeah, he was.
100 yards, 2 TDs. Just seems like a very safe day 3 tight end prospect.
Also, BYU does count as a small school. I'll say it.
Thank you. I've been waiting years for you to say that.
Yeah, you know I'm not a BYU fan.
Nor should you be, because you've bet on them a couple times this year, AJ, and they've been losers for you.
Exactly, Rob.
But for others, they've been big winners. So if you're going to bet this football season, bet with my bookie. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, just hedge it and bet the other side. If you're the kind of guy who is weird and parlays stuff, bet a bunch of different games, a buck a piece, and make $1 million. That could happen. And no matter what, bet with my bookie and bet football, because it makes the games more interesting for everybody. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit mybookie.ag today. You win, you play, then you win. Then you get paid. MyBookie.
No, man, you're guaranteed to win, baby.
Okay, week 9 matchups. It's kind of a very, very nice week where it's like there's one marquee game in each time slot.
The best.
Yeah, it's the best. And then, ESPN's broadcasting some garbage game.
No, they got the marquee game at noon. What are you talking about?
Miami Pitt, old Big East rivalry. How'd you do last week?
5-5.
Yeah, me too. Wait, are you 37-33?
I'm 37-33.
That's weird that we have the same record this deep into the season.
It is. I mean, you just copy my picks, so it's no
big deal. Yeah, that's what I do. okay, starting with the big one. The noon game on Fox. Would have been way more interesting if Wisconsin didn't spaz and lose to Illinois. But, hey, they did. Number 13, Wisconsin, going to Columbus to take on number 3, Ohio State. The Buckeyes are 14.5-point favorites. Some say their first real test of the season.
Defensively, yeah, it is. Offensively, I don't think Wisconsin's going to score very much in this game, Ralph.
I mean, they did put up 23 on Illinois.
It is the vaunted Illinois defense. It's Lovie Smith. It's the Monsters of the Midway 2.0.
That's facts. Lovie Smith's the best.
I'm taking Ohio State to cover because I just don't think Wisconsin's going to score. I think if Fields and that offense struggle, it's going to be early, and then they're just going to put the pedal on the metal and pull away.
I feel very much the same. I don't trust that Jack Cohn's going to get it done in a shootout with Chase Young breathing down his neck. Very excited to see Chase Young versus Colvin Lanen. But, if they just key in on Jonathan Taylor, it feels like the Buckeyes' defense has been so good.
It's game.
It's game. Like, the receivers out for the Badgers aren't good enough to beat the Buckeyes' corners. Other side of the ball. Wisconsin, like, it's very, very Wisconsin. I think 2 years ago they had one of the best defenses in the country. But it was like they hadn't played anybody. And that's kind of how it feels like for this defense so far this season, where they've been amazing, but they haven't played anybody.
Whoa. They play Michigan.
Yeah, but they, like, Illinois give them hell like they normally do. But
I'm joking.
Yeah. So I'm going to take Ohio State.
It's a good call, Ralph.
But if Wisconsin was ranked higher, let's say they beat Illinois by 1 point, I would have taken Wisconsin. It's all about the numbers for me.
Makes sense.
Okay, noon on ABC. If you prefer Big 12 football to Big 10 football, check out number 5, Oklahoma, taking on Kansas State. Sooners, 23.5-point road favorites.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this one.
Me either.
It's Oklahoma's going to go in and tear up Manhattan.
Wait, you don't think Skylar Thompson can compete with Jalen Hurts in a shootout?
Oh, do you see Duggan's run?
Against Kansas State? Yeah. What's Jalen Hurts going to do to them?
Worse.
I feel Oklahoma's, like, always the ABC noon game, so we're always picking the Oklahoma game. We're always picking them to cover. And they usually do.
It's because they're either on the big noon on Fox or, ABC.
Love the big noon. Okay. In ESPN's going to compete with those games by broadcasting Miami at Pitt. Pitt 5.
Maybe they just surrendered. I don't blame them.
Pitt 5-point favorites.
I don't know.
I'm taking Pitt. Miami's been terrible.
Miami has been terrible. I'm also taking
Pitt. Also, Georgia Tech, who I was rated, like, Georgia Tech is one of the 3 worst Power 5 schools this season.
Okay, that's not nice. I don't like that.
It's because
it's
the curse of the triple option. They moved away from it, so they suck now.
It is the curse. I know. You're right. I'm taking Pitt, and I'm not watching this game.
Kenny Pickett shows up in big games.
He does. That's a fact.
Okay, 3:30, CBS. Probably the biggest game of the day. Number 9, Auburn. Traveling to Baton Rouge to take on number 2, LSU. The Tigers are 11-point favorites.
That's pretty good. It's pretty not cool. It's pretty wonky that we have two, like number 3 against number 13, and it's a 14.5-point spread. We have number 2 against number 9, and it's an 11-point spread.
LSU's that good, baby.
They are that good. I think they're going to cover.
Are you ready to see more Bo Nix, as if we haven't seen enough Bo Nix this season?
Bo Nix sucks.
Bo Nix isn't good.
Even when Auburn is, like, killing teams, Bo Nix is not playing well.
At the same time, it's so unfair to throw an 18-year-old kid into an SEC game.
It's true.
I like to think about that sometimes. Like, when I was 18, could I have taken on the LSU Tigers?
No.
Whoa. Speak for yourself.
I'm a Tigers fan. I'm sorry. You know that.
Wait, which Tigers? There's so many Tigers. You mean the Tigers.
Yeah, sorry. Go Tigers.
Yeah, I'm going to take LSU.
What, like, it's a lot of points, but why would Auburn hang around?
Yeah, the difference is Auburn's offense can't hang with the LSU offense. And Auburn, I don't think, has the firepower in their secondary to stop the LSU receivers.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not enough to slow that LSU offense down.
I think Derek Brown's going to make a couple splash plays, but
sure, yeah.
That'll be it. Joe Burrow solidify himself as a top five pick. Bam. Okay, 3:30 ABC. If you like punting. Number 6, Penn State, traveling to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Penn State 6.5-point favorites. Is this a trap game?
No.
Most years it would be. This year it's not.
I agree. Hold on, I'll say this. I don't know the weather forecast, but if it's raining in East Lansing, it's a trap game.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to check the weather while we talk about it.
I was going to do this. Let's both check the weather. I'm both barely talking. It'll be good podcasting, okay?
Okay, ready, go.
Okay, East Lansing. Weather. But you can never trust that, like, the Google thingy.
It's sunny and 12 degrees on Saturday. And by 12 degrees, I don't know what that is Fahrenheit. So if you're American, I'm sorry.
It's like 53 is what I'm going to say, okay. Rob. Fuck, they just missed it. It's supposed to rain on Sunday, though.
Yeah, I'm going to take Penn State. This feels like the end of D'Antoni in Michigan State. Did I call him D'Antoni?
I don't know.
D'Antonio in Michigan State.
Yeah. Penn State beats Michigan State.
Yes.
By more than 6.5 points.
KJ Hamler, 200 yards. Okay. 3:30, the big noon Fox game at 3:30. Number 15, Texas, take on Texas Christian at TCU, and it's a pick'em.
Am I the only one that's weirded out by the pick'em?
Like, do they just, because Kansas played them tough, like, just Texas gets no respect now? Like, TCU is not good this year.
No, TCU is struggling. We already talked about how they can't find, like, the running backs aren't bad, but
they have some skill guys, but they don't get them the ball very well.
But I mean, it's Sam Ellinger against Sam Ellinger Light and Duggan. So
yeah, I think it's kind of crazy that Texas isn't favored by at all. So I'm gonna take Texas. I don't like, maybe TCU hangs around for a bit, but Sam Ellinger is gonna put up points, and I don't think TCU can sustain scoring in the second half.
100% agree. Texas is clearly the better team. Are we gonna both look stupid next week?
Maybe. I love TCU, and Gary Patterson's the best, but
I don't see any reason this game should be a pick. No.
Okay, and then 3:30 ESPN. Obviously, they got the big Big Ten game. Maryland taking on number 17 now, Minnesota.
Minnesota's staying undefeated.
Right? Minnesota's 17-point favorites. Minnesota's like the most wonky undefeated team, though. They're, like, they've been played tough by like Division II schools.
Really? Look, Minnesota probably won't cover this spread.
Realistically, Minnesota wins but doesn't cover.
But I'm taking Minnesota?
I am too, just because I don't want to take Maryland.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the exact same page.
And I love Tyler Johnson. He's one of my favorite receivers in the world.
Yeah, we never mentioned he's had a great week last week. He's had a good year. Like, Minnesota covers and wins, I guess. Yeah. They're going to win, I guarantee that. But
Roll the boat. Seven on ESPN, another banger. Arkansas taking on number 1 Alabama, who's not going to have Tua. Who's the quarterback again? Mac Wilson?
Mac Wilson.
Is it Mac Wilson?
It's Jones, isn't it? Yeah.
Mac Wilson's a linebacker for the Browns. Bama's 32-point favorites.
If it was any other SEC team besides Arky, I think I'd take the points.
Too. I thought about it for a while, and I was like, nah, Starkle's going to come in and throw 7 interceptions.
Yeah, Alabama's defense is going to score more points than the Arkansas offense. I guarantee that.
All they have to do is throw screens to Ruggs and Judy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Mac, don't call me Wilson Jones. Oh, that's a good nickname. He looked not great, but...
But on the other hand, what if Tua's brother just comes in and wins it? Oh, and by wins it, I mean covers the spread.
No, he comes back and wins. Arkansas's up big.
That'd be sick. They could run Wildcat with Najee Harris the entire game and win.
They might as well. Right?
Get Najee Harris that 300-yard rushing game that will make the Titans take him in the second round. Okay, 7:30. We're both taking Alabama, I assume, right?
Yeah, we're taking Alabama.
7:30, ABC. Number 8, Notre Dame at number 9, Michigan. It's a pick 'em.
And we're both taking Michigan, baby.
I am taking Notre Dame.
Oh,
Shea Patterson and Ian Book might be the same person, but I trust Ian Book more.
Look, I'm taking Michigan because I have to.
I prefer, like, Notre Dame's offensive line I prefer. Notre Dame's pass rushers I prefer.
All right.
Notre Dame's quarterback I prefer.
All right.
I don't know about their coaches. That's not a game I'm willing to play.
I hate both of them.
I do. Okay, Don Brown's like one of my favorite coaches in general.
Yeah, Don Brown's great. Someone, do you see like this? I don't know, some weird website like called Football Scoop or something that Harbaugh wants out now.
It's a good website. Trust it. Yes. Yeah, so I'm taking Notre Dame. You're taking Michigan, then. Yeah.
I have to.
Okay, yeah. And if we're still awake, 10:30, ESPN. This is their best game of the day. Washington State at number 11, Oregon. Oregon favored by 14. This is a classic. Everyone goes to bed and Oregon loses somehow. Anthony Gordon throws 8 touchdowns.
I don't trust Oregon to cover this
spread. I don't either. And I trust Mike Leach to, even in bad years, which is in theory a bad year for him this year, to pull one upset. Or at least not let good teams cover the spread.
Yep.
But I'm still taking Oregon.
Really? I'm taking Wazoo. I'm taking Wazoo.
Actually, you know what?
See, you just copy me, my God.
I'm taking Washington State.
All right, I'm shocked that you didn't take Washington State.
It's like I'm still so blinded, and Mike Leach is my favorite coach of all time, and like I've read his book a couple times because I keep not finishing it and having to restart. That counts as reading it.
let me ask you this right now: Apple Cup, who wins it?
It sucks that neither of them are ranked right now. It would be nice if Washington had beaten Oregon and tore off a couple wins and then ended up being like ranked like 8th when they took on and Washington State like won 3 games but wins the game.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
Yeah. So
I or like Wazoo sneaks into being like 24 for the Apple Cup.
They're gonna win the Apple Cup and be ranked 24.
Agree.
Alright. That's it for us at 7 Rounds in Heaven. Follow AJ on Twitter at AJMarchese13. Follow me at RobPaulNFL. Read NFL draft stuff at Armchair Media Network. Read NFL stuff in general at Pro Football Network that I write. Bye.